Bienvenido, welcome. ¿Cómo estás? How are you guys doing this evening? Bueno, good? Okay, well, we're going to try it again. Bienvenido, how are you guys doing this evening? All right, amen, praise the Lord. If you have your Bibles, before we get started, I just want you to open your Bibles to the book of Ephesians. We'll be in the book of Ephesians. And I need to see if this works here. All right, amen. We have the same problems in the Spanish service, believe it or not. The clicker sometimes it's a sanctification tester of the pastor. It's a wonderful tool. But to those of you who have known me, my family here, Pastor Randy Hernandez, I'm privileged to serve here in Tri-City Baptist Church, not only to the Hispanic people, but to everybody here. We're all one familia. God's word that tells us there's no distinction of race, color, or anything. We're all one in Christ. But what we desire to do in the Spanish ministry is to be the hands and the feet and the mouth of Tri-City Baptist to the Hispanic community. So we do that by something that's very unique to us, our Spanish language. And so we've been able to reach out to the communities at times, and we have our Bible studies and Sunday evening services, and it's a wonderful blessing. And I ask that you guys could please continue to pray for us. We've had the Lord has blessed and bringing us together, Lord willing. We're going to be starting some foundation studies here pretty soon, and we're very, very excited. And we have them here with us this evening. No voy a predicar en español en ese momento. So I'm not going to be preaching in Spanish right now. But I just want to ask you to remember and to pray. It doesn't matter. You may think to yourself, well, I cannot reach a people, a culture, because I don't know their language. My friends, I'm so excited to preach right now. I'm like trying to contain myself up here. You know, I don't even have caffeine inside of me. Because it's something that I really believe that the Lord has been working not only upon me, but I think he wants it for all of us. And it's going to go with what I'm talking about right now. So the topic of today's message is changing into the image of Christ. Una oración, a prayer to grow in love. And we're going to be looking at Ephesians chapter 3. And we're going to be focusing on verses 14 through 21. However, before we read that scripture passage, I want us to read chapter 3. And today, we're going to be going looking at a variety of different passages as well to actually be focusing upon this. So before we do anything, let's do the one thing that we all should be doing before we come to God's word to study or to hear it preached. Let's come to God. Let's come to our Savior and let's ask him to help us this evening. Father, I come before you and I thank you, Lord. Lord, I thank you so much for how great you are and how good you are and how Lord, you are without limits. Lord, I thank you for working in our hearts prior to salvation, during our sanctification. Lord, I thank you for even preparing hearts this evening. Lord, I ask you, please, Lord, I desire to be a blessing. So I pray right now, Holy Spirit, that you would anoint me at this moment with your power and your presence. I pray that I would say what you would have me to say and keep me from saying what I should not say. But Lord, I pray more than anything. I pray that Jesus, you would be magnified. I pray that you would smile upon this service here today. And that when, as your people, when we walk out of those doors, that we will continue in this change that you started in us. I pray this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. So let's read the Ephesians chapter 3. We're in Ephesians chapter 3, and we're going to start reading verses 1 all the way to verses 21. And this is a great opportunity to remind us it doesn't take that long to read the Bible. You're going to see. So here we go. For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ for you Gentiles, if you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God which is given me to your word, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in few words, whereby when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body, partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel, whereof I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his power. Unto me, who I am less than least of all the saints, is this grace given to me, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God, according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of him. Wherefore I desire that you faint not at my tribulations for you, which is your glory. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, and that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with the might by his Spirit in the inner man, and that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth, the length, the depth, and the height, to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, and that you might be filled with all fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly, more above than we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. May God bless the reading of his precious word. Maria Dyer was born in 1837 on the mission field in China, where her parents were pioneer missionaries. And both of her parents died when Maria was a little girl, and she was sent back to England to be raised by an uncle. The loss of her parents, however, did not sway her young heart from the importance of sharing the gospel. At age 16, along with her sister, she returned to China and to work in a girl's home as a missionary herself. 5 years later, she married a man called Hudson Taylor, a man well known today for his life, ministry, faith, and sacrifice. Hudson and Maria's work was often criticized, even by other Christians. And at one point, Maria wrote, "As to the harsh judgings of the world, or the more painful misunderstandings of Christian brethren, I generally feel that the best plan is to go on with our work and leave God to vindicate our cause." Of 9 children, only 4 survived. Only 4 survived to adulthood. Maria herself died when she was only 43. But she believed the cause was worthy of the sacrifice. And on her grave marker, she wrote these words: "For her to live was Christ, and to die was gain." Amen. In a day when many are self-absorbed and care more about what they can get than what they can give, we need today, my friends, and I'm going to try my very best. I know I'm not supposed to move, but soy Mexicano, and I'm a preacher. And, you know, that is like, that's like a very hard thing to contain me back here. So I just want to let you know. So I'll do my very best to stay in the sphere. But what we need today, my friends, and I beg you, and I, to hear what we need today is for God to do a work, yes, that begins right here, but does something in here that changes us out here. And what we need today is we need to understand God's love. And I believe that when we understand God's love, when we grow in our understanding of it, it does something to us. We are never the same. When we hear John 3:16, "For God so loved the world," it should stir our hearts within us. It should make us feel special. It should do something. It should never be, "I already know that." Today, the title of the message is Changing into the Image of Christ. As I was preparing this message, I wanted to put changed into the image of Christ, but I struggled with it for two reasons. Number one, it belongs to Jim Berg. Jim Berg wrote a book already on it, and I thought to myself, if that thing goes on sermon audio, Jim Berg's going to be like, "¿Qué pasó aquí?" You know, he's going to be like, "This guy right here is stealing my thunder or something." No. But a second reason, I put changing into the image of Christ because that's where we're at. See, sanctification, the moment of salvation, we are changed, and yet we are changing. It's a process that is still happening. It's the wonderful thing that we call sanctification. And we're looking at in the scripture passage the heart of Paul, a prayer for his church. And I don't know about you, but I was so greatly challenged by this. I thought to myself, here is a man that God has called, and he's just demonstrating his love for the body of Christ in this prayer. And what we're going to be doing here today, there's 6 points, and don't worry, every point is not a lot. It's just more of what I really wanted to do was I wanted to captivate or bring into, I wanted to get the main point and try to summarize it in each verse to grasp a bit of truth that we could apply here as we walk out these doors. So the very first thing that I want us to see here is growing in love. Growing in love. If we are going to be a people who grow in love, we need to understand that God provides the means and the ability to love. And I think sometimes that this is very simple, but sometimes we forget about this. As we come to the scripture passage right here in verse 14, we see what Paul's saying. He's saying, "For this cause I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you," that God would do this work in you, "according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with the might by his spirit in their inner man." As we come to this passage right here, one of the very first things that we see is that, yes, this prayer has a direction. He is talking to God. But also when it talks about that he's bowing his knees, it's not so much giving us an instruction of how to pray, but showing us the attitude of prayer. You see, my friends, one of the most convicting things, but our prayer life will reflect a good deal on our spiritual life. I love the quotation that I have in my house, and I spelled it wrong. Even at this moment, I think to myself how my wife told me that I need to fix it. It was by Charles Spurgeon. Unfortunately, I put Charles Surgeon on it, and I put a little P on it in the bottom. And my wife says, "No, Randy, I'm gonna pay for a new copy. You gotta get a new one." But when they asked Charles Spurgeon, and they said, "What is more important, reading God's word or praying?" And I love what Spurgeon did. He had some wit with him, and he said, "Let me ask you, what is more important, breathing in or breathing out?" And I thought to myself, wow, that is so insightful. But when we come to this passage right here, what we're seeing is that Paul is demonstrating his dependence upon God to do what he could never do. As I was studying this passage, I'm telling you, I had the ghost of Pastor Mike ringing in my ear the whole time. And I thought to myself, I'm going to message him. I'm going to ask him, did he get this from here? Because Pastor Mike, one of the things he used to always tell us, it says, "Holy Spirit, do a work which I can never do. Change lives permanently." And as I was in this passage, I was like, this is where he got it right here. And I was like, wow, that is so true. My friends, as a body of Christ, it's not so much the great and mighty theological things that we need, it's the fundamentals. And one of the biggest things that I think as a church that we also need to be reminded of is having a humble attitude of dependence. Paul here is realizing that the church needs God to work in their hearts, but that he can't change them. That this is a work that only God can do. The interesting thing here is that as you study this passage right here, and you put emphasis in verse 16 where he says that you may be strengthened by the Spirit in the inner man, it carries the idea, which I find is so interesting, is that the Holy Spirit does a work within us deeply that affects our mind, our will, and our emotions. It's something that he does that we can never do. Now, I don't know about you, but has anybody in this room said, I have a problem with loving? I really have a real big problem with loving. And so you go to the bookstore and you read books on how to love. Can you learn how to love? I think you could learn ways to demonstrate love. But you know something I want to encourage you, my friends, is this, is that we need to understand that we need to be a people. If we see that we are not demonstrating love, we need to go to God our Father who could work in our hearts to manifest love. We may be thinking here today saying, oh, Pastor Randy, we are very loving people. My friends, one of the biggest tests to show how and if we are truly a loving person is just to hear how we talk for a week. The Word of God tells us out of the mouth proceeds the issues of the heart. It will show us who we really are. And what we need more than anything today is that we need to come to God and we need to understand that only He could change us. You know, I want to give a biblical illustration of what it means of dependence. And so in the scriptures in Matthew 15, the scripture says, leaving this place, Jesus withdrew to a region called Tyre and Sidon. And a Canaanite woman from that city came to him crying, Lord, son of David, have mercy upon me. My daughter is demon-possessed and suffering terribly. And Jesus did not answer a word. So his disciples came and urged him and said, send her away, because she keeps crying out after us. And he answered, I was sent only to the lost sheep of Israel. And notice what the woman said. And the woman came and knelt before him and said, Lord, help me. She said, he replied, it is not right to take the children's bread and toss it to the dogs. And she's, yes it is. Yes, it is, Lord, she said. For even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table. And then Jesus said to her, woman, you have great faith. Your request is granted. And her daughter was healed at that moment. That, my friend, is dependence. And I think that anybody in this room is a parent who knows about that. When your kid is sick and Tylenol and ibuprofen is not cutting it, when you take them to the hospital, you can't go in there because it's all COVID. You have nothing but just you and God. That's dependence right there. When you're a new parent and you've read all Ted Tripp's books on shepherding a child's heart, God's way. We read the 12 gospel principles to child rearing. You could read all these books. You got all the child wise books too, right? And you read all of them and you're thinking, man, what am I doing wrong and everything? When you're a Bible college student, you learn the scriptures, you get a fire to preach, you go out there, you share the gospel, and people's hearts are not changed, and you're like, God, what's going on? It's dependence. And we need to be a people who understands that. Love starts when we start becoming a people realizing that we need God to do a work in our heart that only He could do. But the second thing I want to show us this evening is growing in love understands that full devotion and foundation belong to Jesus Christ. As we continue in the scripture passage right here, Paul's prayer in verse 17 says that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. I have a question for you. When you hear dwell, what comes to your mind? There has to be someone in here. What comes to your mind? Dwell. I'll give you a hint. New Testament. I'll give you another hint. Jesus. Come on, someone help me here. What comes to your mind? Dwell. Bernamacer. What comes to your mind? John 15. In John 15, Jesus says, I am the vine, and ye are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can't do nothing. And when the scripture, when we read 17, says that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, it's carrying the idea that Christ would rule supreme, that he would have first place, that God will say, that we are saying, Lord, you are master. I am not. What you will, Lord, not my will. And that's what the scripture passage is carrying the idea. It's us having this attitude of just complete surrender to God, saying, Lord, as what Jesus said, as we were reminded in Escuela Dominica this morning, where he says, where Jesus was frightened, but he said he came to do God's will. My friends, what Paul is praying for is that we are fully devoted to God. And as we continue right here, he says that you be rooted and grounded in love. And I love this aspect of being rooted. And I thought to myself, what a scripture passage that came, and I thought about the seeds that fell on good soil. So in Matthew, he said, behold, a sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some seed fell by the wayside, and the birds came and devoured it. Some fell on stony places where they did not have much earth, and immediately sprang up because there was no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, they were scorched because they had no root. They withered away. And some fell among thorns, and thorns sprang up and choked them. But others fell on good ground and yielded a crop, some hundredfold, some 60, some 30. He who has ears, let him hear. Rooted, what does that mean? Rooted, what does that mean? That we will be established in Christ. That we that when he works in us, that we he would have deep, that his word would have fertile soil, but also grounded. What does that carry? It carries the idea of, therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken to a wise man who built his house on a rock. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. You know, when I think of full devotion, I'll never forget the day of one time I went to a coffee shop. I don't know why, but IBCS students, to this day, my house, I could have a little bit of noise, and it's very hard for me to study there, but for some reason, I could go to a coffee shop, and there's so much noise going around, and I just do my best studying there. I have no idea why. But I've always said to myself, if I could create a coffee shop experience in my office, I would do it. I'm not there yet. But the reason I tell you that is because I remember one time I was studying, and I went to this coffee shop, and you know how it is. You're like, okay, I got to get in my mode here. I get my everything set up, and I, of course, I have to have that coffee with the cool little swirls on it, right? So I could, like, you know, show everybody that, you know, I'm really engaged here. But I'll never forget that day. As I was sitting there, something grabbed my attention. I saw this couple walking in. It was an elderly man and his wife. And what struck me was many things. But the first thing is that they were dressed the same. White shirt, blue shorts. And I thought to myself, wow. And you're demonstrating love when you start dressing like each other, right? And I was like, you know, I'm just looking at this. But then I see this man holding his wife. And he's just walking with her. And I'm thinking, oh, he's being very kind. He's taking her to the table. And I could tell by this observation that everything is not quite where it needs to be. But as he brings her to the table, you know, I go to study, and I happen to look back. I see him starting to feed her. And I see him starting to help her. And I thought to myself, I was like, man, that is devotion. That is true care through sickness and through health, right? Through thick and thin. And I saw that and I thought to myself, man, that man doesn't even know me. But by his actions, he so challenged me. By the grace of God, I pray that I would follow in helping if we get old. And who knows, maybe Dulce will help me. I don't know. But Lord willing, we won't be dressing alike, like each other. You know what I mean? Sorry, that ain't going to happen. There's some things that are a little bit different culturally, okay? But when it comes to our life, can I ask you a question? Please just listen to me right here. Does God have your full heart? Like everything of you. Like if God was to look at you right now and said, man, do I have you? Will we say the words of Peter? You know, Lord, you know I love you. Or would God have to continue saying, hey, do you love me? Do you really love me? Do I have first place in your heart? Are you established upon who I am and what I've given you in the Word? Really? Or do I just have your head? Can I teach you something, my friends? I'm going to show you something. When God has your true heart, He changes you. Holiness is not hard. It's not. Not when God captivates your heart. It's not hard. We ought to praise the Lord, help me love you more. That I mean desire you more. Love compels us. We don't need to learn or what we should do. Galatians teaches us that one of the chapters we're focusing on, Spanish ministry, is that the whole commandment can be summed up with one word, and what is that? Love. An interesting thing about that passage is that Paul's saying, listen, you're so focused upon trying to obey the law to gain righteousness, you're wasting your time. Christ did it all. But what you can do, because Christ did it all, you could love each other, which you couldn't do prior to having Jesus Christ as your Savior. Only God could do that. That's a work of Him. But the third point this evening I want us to get our attention on this is growing in love understands that true satisfaction and substance is found in Jesus Christ. Look at this wonderful passage right here. And it says right here in verse 18, may be able to comprehend with all the saints. And what does that say, my brothers and sisters? That's all of us. All of us in this room that know Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. What Paul's saying, that we may understand something. What? The breadth, the length, the depth, and the height. And to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you might be filled with all fullness of God. You know, breath. For God so loved the world. That is the breath. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever should believe in them should not perish but have everlasting life. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn it. Length. Jeremiah 31:3 came to my mind where He says, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Height. God's throne, or our how does God demonstrate His love? Our future home in heaven. I need to preach a sermon on heaven. Two sermons that you will be good to hear about heaven and the rapture. Not too many of them you hear nowadays. But look at this wonderful, look at this. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there were no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, a new Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride, adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and He will dwell with them, and they shall be His people. And God Himself shall be with them and be their God. One of my favorite verses right here. And God, shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And there shall be no more death, nor crying. Neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things have passed away. Well, But what could describe the depth of God's love? This poor man cried out to the Lord, and he heard me. When it talks about the breath, it's basically trying to say God says he loves this whole world. The Old Testament teaches that, yes, God will pronounce judgment, but he wants people to turn to him. When it thinks about length, it shows us that God even thought about you before even you were created. When it thinks about height, think about your how does God demonstrate his wonderful love for you? Think about heaven. The Bible tells us that when we are with the Lord, that we are going to forget everything else. But also the depth. You know what that carries, my friends, is this. I remember talking with a good friend of mine, and sometimes we talk about different theological things. And we talk about, and we're talking about, I don't know how the conversation came, but we're talking about sinners. Really bad sinners. And I said, man, I go, and we started going, and I said, man, the type of sinner where you're like, yeah, that person, we don't go by. We don't talk to. Matter of fact, you know, we give them their space. But I remember, I don't know why, what came out was like, we should go talk to them. Let's go tell them that Jesus loves them. Let's go tell them that Jesus Christ died on the cross to save them from the sin that they are so entrapped with. When it talks about the depth, my friend, can I ask you a question? Do you think of others? Or do you think of you? The principle in God's word teaches us that it's very easy for us to see the speck in another brother's eye, but we have failed to see the big honking log in ours. But you know something? When we start to understand that how God demonstrates his love towards us, that he loves us before we even knew him, and that even in our moments, and John in Matthew chapter 11, 28 says, come unto me, all ye are heavy laden, and I shall give you rest. When we look upon that, my friends, and we see how much that God loves us. You know, God's the one person who knows every single thing about you and chooses still to be your friend. Isn't that mind-blowing? That is mind-blowing. He doesn't go like this in the crowd, like, yeah, hey, I'm your friend. And some people walk around and be like, oh, hey, catch you later. No. You know, the great thing about this is that when we go to heaven, you may say, oh, Satan may stand there, he may condemn you, but you know what God says? Hey, that's my son, that's my daughter. Yeah. My friends, true satisfaction comes from Christ. It's a growing knowledge. When the scripture passage says to know the love of Christ, that is a growing knowledge. It's growing. It's something that God is continually doing. But you know the interesting thing about here? It says that it cannot be fully understood. So what Paul's saying, he says, I'm praying that God will do a work in you, that you will grow in understanding God's love for you, but you will never fully arrive. And you know something? I love it. It reminds me of people who accomplish things in their lives. And I remember the Lord taught me this. Do you know something? You can never peak out with the relationship with Jesus Christ. Some people peak out in different things in life. They say, I did this, I accomplished this, or I'm going to go do this, and they did it. But think about it. You will never peek out in knowing Jesus Christ. It's impossible. When I think about this passage, it reminds me of Philippians. When he says to know Christ and the power of his resurrection. My friends, what we need is we need to have our true satisfaction found in Christ. But before I go, let me ask you a question. What if we all went to heaven? At this very moment. And in heaven, you had everything that you ever wanted. You had that beautiful house that you wanted. You had the perfect environment. You had the best people around you. Anything that you wanted was there. Would you be satisfied? Because what if Christ wasn't there? See, our satisfaction is to be found in Jesus. You know, a lot of times when you're young, you're like, oh, I want to, you know, people say, oh, they talk about, I want to get married and everything, and I'm looking for this potential mate. I tell them, you know what, man, fall in love with Jesus first. Be content with Jesus. You fall in love with Jesus, and he captivates your heart, you don't need anything else. And if you bring someone else into your life, hey, you know, it's a blessing. I'm blessed. I have 3 children. I'm very thankful. But I wanted to challenge you with that this evening. But a growing love realizes its model. And if we come here, the scripture says right here, and it says right here, that you might be filled with all fullness of God. It's interesting, when you read a lot of commentaries on this passage, man, they really made it, like they really go out on this passage a lot. And to me, I was just like, man, it's real simple. It just makes me more like Christ. And I thought about this in the Song of Solomon. It says, I am my beloved's and my beloved is mine. Could we say that about Jesus? Or we could say, like, you know, I'm growing, and I love Jesus so much, man, that I want to be everything like him. You know, when I think about this, it reminds me of 2 things. It reminded me of a story that Pastor Mike and Dr. Sproul, actually Dr. Sproul shared one time. And he said, if I get it wrong, please forgive me, my brother, right? You could correct me. But he says that he was in the snow one time, and that he was walking in the snow, and he was leaving footprints behind. And little Pastor Mike was walking right behind him, putting his feet in the snow, saying, and he called out to Dr. Sproul, hey, look, Daddy, I'm following you. And I remember what Dr. Sproul said after that. But you know, when you truly, you know, love somebody, you want to be like them. Why do children, why do little boys want to be like their dad? Because they look up to him. And if we're looking up to our Savior and we're saying, Lord, you love me, you care for me, you demonstrate this love for me, there's ways that you show me this in different ways. Lord, I want to be like you. And this is what growing love realizes. Growing love realizes that Christ is its model. And I only got 2 points here left. But growing love places its confidence in God's limitless abilities. I found it very interesting this morning when Pastor Ken preached, he quoted the scripture. And I thought to myself, oh, that's very interesting. The scripture he quoted was I'm going to be preaching on this evening, part of it. Well, what Paul says right here, he says, now unto him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power which worketh in us. It's very interesting right here. What Paul is saying is Paul has confidence. When Paul's praying, he's saying, I'm praying for these believers right here, but he's saying, I have confidence because he's saying, God is not limited in my prayers. You know, as I think about the scripture passage, there's another passage that comes to my mind when it talks about the Holy Spirit, that sometimes we don't know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit prays for us in utterances and ways in which we don't know how to pray. But when you look at the scripture power right here, what Paul's saying, he's saying, I'm placing my confidence in God because I'm praying that God would do this, and I know he can, and I know he will do more. And a matter of fact, right now, he is working. Though I may not see it, doesn't mean that God is not working. And he's saying, my confidence is placed upon what God says. It reminds me of what the Bible teaches us in Matthew, where it says, with man, this is impossible. With God, all things are possible. God is not limited. You know, it reminds me of this morning when we were hearing the message preached this morning by Pastor Ken, and I thought to myself, and I don't know about you, but I have my moments I talk to God, and I say, Lord, I love to grow in faith, but I just don't like to grow through faith in these impossible circumstances that you put us in. And you look at the Old Testament, he literally puts them in circumstances which there is no solution. There's nothing. It's like you're going to die. That's it. And you're like, okay. And then God comes through. And it's very interesting right here is because what we see here is that what God wants us to show us is that he is not limited, my friends. Never doubt the power of prayer. He's saying, I'm praying that that God will work in my brothers and sisters' life, that we would have love. And he's saying, Lord, I don't doubt it. You will do it. And you probably are doing it. And you're going to probably do more than what I ask. My confidence in you. And the last part that we see here as well is that a growing love praises God collectively. Are we a people who praise God? or are people who complain? What we ought to be, my friends, is, do you find it interesting, is that when everything goes bad, we say, man, God. But when everything goes good, we never go, yes, praise God. It's opposite. But when we come to this, what I want to challenge us with is this. I don't think it is wrong to pray daily and asking God, Lord, change me. Help me to be loving like you. And can I tell you something? You know what that will do? It will change the way you talk. You won't slander people. It will change the way you think. It will change the way that we do things. But when we look here, that this is only a work that God can do. It starts with prayer, and yes, we could. And yes, God uses His word in our life, but this is God's work, and we need God's work. I don't think that any place could come. I don't think anybody will come to Tri City Baptist Church and say, "Man, these people, man, they're just really just too loving." Wow! I came in there; they opened the door. They smiled the whole time I was there. Man, they actually gave me a free Bible. You know what? These people are up to something over there. I know them. I watch CSI. Stop watching CSI or spend some time in God's Word, please. That's what we ought to be doing. Seriously, people watch all these programs and they start going, I'm like, you know, man, spend some time in God's Word. Seriously. We don't got divine perception. Only the Lord looks into the hearts. But I wanted to challenge us today because I thought about, this is my church body, my family, mi familia. And I wanted to challenge us to do two things in closing. And hopefully, yeah, if it's okay, so let me say something. Pastor Ken told me, he's like, you got to get done by 7. And I said, okay, and I said, is that American time or Mexican time? he's his American, so I'm going to honor him, but I just want to ask permission just to do two things. Why don't we put an application to this evening? And so what we could do is this. Why don't we have a time of collectively right now praying this prayer? And then why can't we end with Pastor Dave coming up here and leading us in this hymn to praise God? Can we do that? Okay. So you're going to have to come up here, hermano. I don't know what hymn. But if you want to sing A Mighty Fortress Is Our God, I've been listening to that for a while, but whatever you want to do. But let's pray. Let this be our prayer today. Let's put some application here. Let this be our prayer. Would you join me with this prayer, please?